This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Welcome back, everybody, to Something's Brewing, your weekly Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel, back for another edition, and I have officially survived the camp circuit. Man, last week I was up in the Dallas area in Coppell for the Rivals three-stripe camp in Dallas, the Dallas regional one, and that was it, man. After, what, almost 2 months? Seems like every weekend of being in Houston and Dallas back and forth, I have made it through another camp circuit for the time being. We'll have, obviously, things like the five-star challenge and the opening coming up. There will be seven-on-seven stuff, and there'll be state seven-on-seven and official visits around the corner. Actually, some of them are starting next weekend for official visits. I don't think Texas will have anybody in that early. But, you know, bottom line, hey, the camp circuit's over. Got a good chance to go out and see a lot of guys in action, talk to a lot of guys, kind of get updates, get to know them, get a handle or a better handle on, you know, what they're thinking and who's standing out and who's legitimately in the picture. So it feels good to have it out of the way. I finally get a couple weekends to, not to myself per se, I'll still be doing other work stuff, but I won't be on the road traveling. You know, and these camps are always Sunday morning so early that basically I drive to Dallas or Houston on Saturday, get a hotel, then I'm there all day Sunday, drive back Sunday night, doing some camp write-ups and helping catch with his 10 thoughts from the weekend. So it just makes for a really, really long weekend. So on one hand, you know, like my dad was talking to me the other day, he goes, man, that's got to wear you out. And I said, yeah, those camps, they do wear you out a little bit. But on the other hand, I said, it's kind of nice because it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You go down there and you get, you know, 10, sometimes up to 20 interviews, depending on who shows up. And then you've got really good interviews and really good content for pretty much the whole week. So it makes the rest of the week a little easier. So, you know, there are the positives that certainly go along with the extra workload. It kind of makes the rest of the week a little easier. But it was good to go up to Dallas, man, and actually in Coppell. I mean, I've hit those camps and Under Armour and Rivals camps, and the Nike camps in Dallas area. I mean, they're always different campuses. I've been to Cedar Hill. I've been to, I think, DeSoto. Last couple of years, the Rivals has had theirs at Coppell. But anyways, it was good to go up there. For whatever reason, these Rivals camps up in Dallas always have the shittiest weather. Like one year, they actually had to do it indoors because there was like an ice storm. But it's just either just insanely cold or ice or even rain. But this year, man, it couldn't have been more beautiful up there on Sunday. I think it was probably low 70s and sunny skies. I mean, just a great day to be out there. And speaking of that, man, I'm just kind of, as I look out my window here, I'm like still looking outside, man, beautiful blue skies. And man, this kind of weather just puts a smile on my face. Being at that camp on Sunday, just watching football on the field, great weather. Makes me so happy. So hope everybody else is enjoying it like I am. Unlike my wife, by the way, who the other day told me that the hotter weather puts her in a bad mood. My wife's from Colorado. Nobody probably knows that, but she's a Colorado mountain girl, used to live on the mountains in Breckenridge snowboarding, so she hates the warm weather. I'm like, man, girl, you haven't seen anything yet. But I'm like, why the hell? Who shouldn't be enjoying this kind of weather? But she's like, she already feels her mood shifting as the temperatures are rising. But regardless, bad for her, good for me, that I got to enjoy some nice weather at a Rivals Dallas camp for the first time. The only frustrating thing about that camp was the amount of no-shows. And I'm not going to throw a bunch of names out there and throw guys under the bus, but it just irritates the hell out of me. These guys, listen, signing up for these camps, it's not an easy task. It's not like just, I'm going to sign my name on a piece of paper or click a button on the internet. You have to fill out this, I mean, Rival sends you a formal invitation. You have to fill it out and you have to turn in and show proof of medical insurance and everything. I think you have to have a guardian's signature on there or this and that and the other. But to my surprise, there were a lot. What's up with the Dallas DFW area kids in this class in particular? Because, man, there were a lot of really, really good no-shows. And, you know, it sucks. I hate that they didn't show up. And some of those guys probably would have made the five-star challenge. But it sucks for the other kids because if you sign up, that takes a spot away from some other kid that could have shown up. So, you know, I don't want to hold it against these kids too much, but there have been a couple of these players that no-showed on Sunday that have also no-showed on other events, maybe unofficial visits to certain colleges or things. And I just kind of got a good idea or a good taste of which guys might be a handful to deal with and which guys might be the type that say they're going to show up somewhere, say they're going to visit, and then don't do it. And, you know, we got a taste of that last year. I mean, a guy like Javon Shepherd, who drove everybody crazy, but Javon had his reasons. He didn't have transportation unless someone was willing to take him and stuff. So, you know, I don't mean to single out Javon, but anyways, man, it's just kind of frustrating for me on several levels and in Rivals as a whole. And I will... I'll give Rivals a bit of a pass on this because Rivals.com just recently hired a new Texas recruiting analyst, meaning the state of Texas. It's his job to get those guys there. He's brand new. It'll be much better next year, but come on, young men and coaches and parents and everybody else, if your kid signs up for a camp, a free camp, you're not having to pay for it. It's all good for those kids. Get them out there. Otherwise, just don't sign up and let somebody get out there who would appreciate it and wants to be there. But, you know, those camps like the Rivals camp, again, the opening camp, the Under Armour camps, those things have gotten much bigger and much more important nowadays just because the simple reason, and I actually talked to a college coach about this on, I think it was Monday, said, hey, you know, nobody really shows up. It used to be back in the day, Mack Brown would have his Mack Brown Texas football camp and the elite of the elite players would show up, as would some kind of fringe guys. We all know the stories about those guys. They'd go out there and run a good 40 time or have a great day in one-on-ones or whatever it may be, and Mac would fall in love and actually hand out an offer or two and take a commitment, and those guys would very rarely pan out. But whatever, that's neither here nor there, I guess. But bottom line is there used to be a ton of talent that would show up to those Texas football camps, and not just Texas. It was Texas A&M or Oklahoma or even, you know, TCU or some of the other programs in the region, LSU. Those days are gone, man. I mean, you know, Tom Herman still does his camps, and you'll maybe get a couple players out there to each camp. I mean, last year, they don't let media into those camps, but I can kind of hang out outside and as guys leave, grab a couple interviews, so on and so forth. But, I mean, I'm trying to think. Last year at those camps, I remember interviewing of guys who truly wound up being on Texas's radar. I remember Prince Dorba showed up and worked out. Malcolm Epps showed up and didn't work out. There weren't many others, if I'm being honest. Those were the main ones. Oh, I remember Noah Cain actually showed up. I think he was in town for summer visit or something. He showed up, never had any intention of working out. He was basically on campus that day for an unofficial visit, so he went to the camp that night and watch people work out. But I don't know, the days of summer camps, school summer camps, carrying a lot of weight are really gone. So these types of camps, like the Rivals camps and the Five Star Challenge and the opening national camp, those things are where, you know, guys really make their hay, really get recognized. So, you know, they're important. They're fun to go to and they're important. But good weekend overall in Dallas. Let's touch on some of the players who were at that camp who made a strong impression for me watching them. And, you know, it's hard to see everything. There's so much going on. And Rivals actually runs theirs pretty well where you get to watch the O-line, D-line, and there's while that's going on, the one-on-ones, to put it, just kind of give you a visual, the wide receivers and DBs and running backs and linebackers aren't doing a lot of really intensive action. So you kind of can focus on the offensive line and not worry that you're missing too much on the wide receiver DB one-on-ones. And then when the wide receiver and DBs are going at it later in the camp, or the tight ends and linebackers, or running backs and linebackers, either one, the offensive line is pretty much done at that time, and they're kind of you know, getting some instruction or whatever. But so, you know, you get a pretty good chance to see everything. The only place where it gets really difficult is on wide receiver, DB, basically all the passing stuff, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends versus DBs, linebackers, quarterbacks, of course. It's a split field, so it's hard to watch both sides of the field, but, you know, I try to do that as best I can. But anyways, players who made a strong impression from what I saw, I'll start with Mansfield Timberview cornerback Jalen Kimber. You know, he always does well at these camps. He tests well. He's very fast. But, I mean, his coverage was fantastic all day when I was able to watch him at the camp. Ended up getting a five-star challenge invitation for his efforts. You know, he's a little bit slight of frame right now, but, I mean, he's a kind of a long, lean guy who you see has the potential to add, you know, good weight and still continue to add muscle, fill out his frame, and keep his speed. Remember, he won the fastest man competition. Oh, man, again, these camps start to blend together. I think that was at the opening camp. Yes, it was the opening camp up at the Star in Frisco. He won the fastest man competition. So Jalen Kimber is a cornerback who can really run. You know, I talked to him a little bit after the camp in Frisco a few weeks ago. I talked to him again this weekend and really, really likes Texas. You know, isn't going to make a list per se right now, he said, but Texas would be high on his list. Texas really, really likes him from what I've gathered. I think the Longhorns have a strong shot after his recent visit. You know, he visited Texas a couple weeks ago. Prior to that, I thought Texas was down his list. Right now, I think Texas is right up there with any school in contention for him. He mentioned, I think it was Notre Dame he might go visit. And, you know, I think you got to be watchful of a school like A&M and Oklahoma in the area. But I think Texas has a really good chance with Jalen Kimber. Another guy who stood out, everybody's pretty familiar with him, Highland Park defensive end Prince Dorba, who was really good in one-on-ones. He matched up a lot with Tommy Brockermeyer, the all-everything 2021 offensive lineman. And I tell you what, you know, Prince gave Tommy everything he could handle. And he did it with a combination of his speed, which, you know, that's coming off the edge. But he actually was able to catch Tommy off guard a couple times, which surprised me, with his balance. And Prince was able to kind of use some of his strength to kind of get Tommy's, you know, off balance with his feet and have success there. Now, that being said, listen, Tommy handled him a lot of times too. Tommy Brockermeyer, he's a great prospect. He got offensive line MVP for a reason. He'll be one of the top national players in the country. But Prince showed well. You know, Prince Dorba showed well. My only thing with Prince is he's such a speed guy off the edge, but he's kind of slight of frame right now, like Jalen Kimber. I mean, Prince looks more like a, you know, a rush outside linebacker than he does a defensive end. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, Texas loves him. You know, could he play kind of that B linebacker where he can still do some linebacker things but can still pin his ears back and rush the passer? I think that's where he needs to be if he comes to Texas, because unless his body just changes, because right now he's just a little bit thin to handle, you know, the beatings that he would take along the defensive line, especially if Texas sticks to this kind of three-man front. So another guy who showed well, Darius Snow, the safety out of Louisville Hebron. Now, I think Darius is a guy, I've seen him in these camp settings, and you watch him, he's just so thick in his ass and his legs. I mean, the dude has a linebacker lower half. But every time I look up, man, he's supplying good coverage and making a good play on the ball and has good ball skills. You know, there is question if he can be a safety at the next level, and I get it. But every time, like I said, when I see him at these camps, he performs well, and he did again this week, or this week, like Sunday, so it would be this week, up at the Rivals camp. Now, all that being said, I talked to Darius, and he said, yeah, he's not really talking to Texas anymore. He still likes Texas, but the conversation with UT is kind of cooled, so I don't think he's really much involved there. You know, I mentioned Tommy Brockermeyer, how good he is. Another offensive line, I tell you what, who really impressed me, and he wasn't really, I mean, I knew of him, but he wasn't really on my radar because Texas really isn't talking to him. But Nate Anderson is an offensive lineman out of Reedy up there in the Frisco area. And I mean, he's a converted tight end. I think he said he's played some defenses, and he's only played 1 year of offensive line, but man, he lined up at right tackle and he did really, really well. At the end, what they do at these camps, they call out the best of the best and they match those guys up. And he wasn't quite as successful. I mean, he still held his own, but he wasn't as dominant when he was against the best of the best, of course, but nobody is. But I tell you what, early in that camp, man, Nate Anderson, he's a little bit undersized. He knows it. And he said, you know, it's my first year playing the position. I've got to add some weight. But that guy's footwork, man, when people try to use speed on the outside of him, man, he was driving guys, you know, into the backfield. Now, he did get beat on some good inside moves. He's got to, you know, got to work on that a little bit. But overall, I tell you, I was really impressed with Nate Anderson. He has a kind of a nasty streak, too, just a really good player all around. A couple other guys, real quick, a new name for me that I hadn't really talked about on the site. And I didn't know much about him, I'm being completely honest, because he's a young guy. He's literally a freshman, a 2022 guy. If you know me, I don't usually cover those guys, okay? I'm like, man, I'm not covering a freshman. I got enough shit to do with juniors and seniors and some sophomores. But this guy's a freshman. He's a defensive tackle out of Terrell High School. If I'm talking about him, you know I think pretty highly of him. But Keithian Alexander is his name. He checked in, I think he said 6'3", 340 pounds. And the weight, I tell you, he carries it well. And, man, he moves really well at 340 pounds. But he's 340 as a freshman. He needs to keep that in check. But if he does, I'm telling you, man, this guy is a beast. He just beat up basically on anybody who was lined up in front of him. He played nose tackle. He was matched up with the centers, including James Brockermeyer. And I mean, he gave James Brockermeyer everything he could handle. And James is a very good player. Now, mind you, James is about 240. Keithian Alexander is 340. So not the most, you know, the best setting for one-on-one type matchups like that, but I'm just telling you, man, file that name away. Keithian Alexander, if he can keep that weight in check, this guy is going to be big-time, fantastic player. A few receivers who perform well, J.J. Hester, who's a receiver out of Booker T. Washington in Tulsa, holds a Texas offer, really likes Texas. He was really good. Big, tall, long, lean guy who can run well, make plays. Quay Davis, a 2021 receiver out of Dallas Skyline. He visited Texas about a month ago, picked up a Texas offer, really likes UT. Ironically, he has Oregon number one just because he likes their jersey and the flash of Oregon, but we'll see if that holds. But Texas is number two. If I'm putting my money down right now, I think Quay Davis, his name's Quay Darius, but he goes by Quay. Quay Davis, I think he's a future Texas Longhorn. He was really good. And I tell you about, man, another guy that was really good, and this won't mean much for Longhorn fans, but Colin Sullivan is a wide receiver out of Round Rock. He was on Texas's radar this time last year. He was coming to junior days and things, but things have kind of cooled. You know, I talked to Colin this week at that camp, and he just said, yeah, you know, I'm not really hearing much from Texas anymore. So I just got the impression there wasn't much going on there, which is it's a shame because he's a good kid, and, you know, Texas, listen, they know what they're doing at wide receiver recruiting. They do an incredible job there. This kid can play, man. He's a big kid with good size. He has good ball skills. His speed is significantly underrated. In fact, they had the fastest man competition at the opening. Or no, that was at the opening in Houston. Okay, that was at the opening in Houston last weekend. I told you these things kind of run together at some point. But he got second in the fastest man competition, which is really pretty impressive because they have those guys run 40s. And they select the three fastest, and these are all laser time 40s, legit 40s. So I'm trying to think, there were three of them. I can't remember who the third was, but it was Colin Sullivan and Damon Demas. And Demas, I mean, he claimed he ran a 4.28 on one of his 40s, and the other one was like a 4.3 something. So listen, that dude can fly. But Colin Sullivan got second, and he was right there neck and neck with Demas when they ran the fastest man competition. To the point there was a lot of debate. We were like, who won and who got who? And I thought Demas did get him by a fraction of an inch or a fraction of a second, and it turned out he did. But for Colin Sullivan to run that kind of time, listen, man, I'm impressed. So, you know, Texas isn't really recruiting him, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to keep that guy, keep the lines of contact open, because I think he's a really good player. So That's about it from the camp circuit, the Rivals camp stuff from Sunday. Again, we'll have five-star challenge coverage in June. Hopefully the opening coverage after that, if they credential me. Last year they didn't for the first time ever, just because of some, whatever, some petty reasoning, if you will. I don't know, but they got their reasons, I guess, and whatever. So, but hopefully I'll be there this year. But a couple other things to talk about. You know, I talked to a couple guys, had some updates. Let's talk about Ryan Watts, the cornerback that Texas has started to recruit heavily, and just about everybody started to recruit this guy heavily, a big, long, rangy corner, just has picked up tons of offers over the last month. He released the top 10, and Texas did make the top 10, but most people seem to think Oklahoma has kind of surged into the lead there. Well, I talked to Ryan this week, and he said, hey, he has three official visits set up. He's going to Notre Dame, Oklahoma, both those will be in April, and then he's going to Arkansas in May. So that leaves him two official visits left. He said, hey, Texas might get one. He doesn't know for sure. Miami might get one. The good news for Texas is that Ryan Watts is coming into Austin on April 10th for an unofficial visit. And here's the key, guys. Right now, I think Texas has ground to make up on Oklahoma a little bit. But I don't think it's as big of a gap as some people have made it out to be. Well, he's coming in with his mom and his stepdad into Austin on April 10th. And the UT coaches, they have to kind of knock it out of the park. They need to make a strong impression, not just with Ryan. They did that when he visited in February. But Texas needs to really blow him away, or blow his parents away while they're in town too. And that's going to entail a good academic presentation. Listen, Ryan is just a fantastic guy to talk to, man. I really enjoy talking to him. His parents are big on academics. Ryan's big on academics. Well, that's an area Texas can certainly have a leg up on, a place like Oklahoma, even Arkansas. You know, Notre Dame can go toe-to-toe probably with Texas there in a lot of areas. But Texas can say, hey, listen, man, you're close to home. Mom and dad and your family can come see you, and we've got great academics. Oklahoma can't match that. Arkansas can't match that. Notre Dame can't match that. It's a long way to get to Notre Dame. So don't give up on Texas just yet, but they do need to make a really good impression on his parents when they're in Austin April 10th. That being said, Ryan said, hey, man, you know, love my mom. You know, she's been there from me from the beginning. She'll be there at the end. But he did tell me, hey, it's his decision. But come on, man, these kids, you know, mama's opinion counts. So let's see if Texas can make a strong impression there, close the gap. Xavier Nalford, the safety out of the Houston area, he's another guy that doesn't have any official visits set up, but he has a couple big unofficial visits. He's going to LSU's spring game on April 6th, and then he's following that up with Alabama's spring game on April 13th. That'll be his second visit to Alabama in about a month, probably less than a month span. So something to watch there. He did tell me, hey, I should take a visit to Texas and to Texas A&M soon for their spring practices. So that gives him basically 2 weeks to get those trips in. He's been to Austin already. He's taken some visits to UT. So I still like Texas's chances there. But, you know, if he's visiting places like Alabama multiple times and he's visiting LSU and A&M, you know, there's still work to be done. And he did tell me he wants to take this thing pretty close to signing day. So no big rush there. He'll probably take his official visits in the fall, but Texas needs to continue to set itself up in good, you know, just good position, continue to lay a solid foundation there. So let me talk to you about two other guys before I put a bow on this one, kind of close it down a little early. And next week, I think I'll try to maybe go more positional by positional and just kind of rapid fire on a lot of guys. Sometimes I just get wrapped up into talking to some of these guys and I look at the clock and I'm like, oh crap, we're about 25 minutes in already. But two guys from last weekend that I walked away with kind of an interesting feel on, and an interesting feel in a good way for Texas. I mentioned Prince Dorba from Highland Park. I mentioned J.J. Hester, the wide receiver from Booker T. Washington up in Oklahoma. Both those guys, I thought going into last weekend, I thought Texas's primary competition was the Oklahoma Sooners. Certainly with Prince. With J.J. Hester, he's kind of been all over the place. I didn't know how involved Oklahoma was. But both those guys told another reporter up there, they really haven't been in touch with Oklahoma that much. It was interesting because Prince Dorba released a top five on Friday, which included Oklahoma, included Texas, LSU, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, I believe were the five. But then on Sunday, he said, I really hadn't talked to Oklahoma much. Things have kind of cooled there. But I think Oklahoma was one of his first offers. He still likes Oklahoma, so he went in and put him in there. But listen, if Oklahoma is kind of backing off there a little bit, like it sounds like they are, that one looks like it's trending really, really well for Texas. And, you know, I'm sure Oklahoma's got their reasons, man, but he's a really, really good prospect. I don't know who else they have on their board. I don't know maybe they've got similar players that they're eyeing and feel good about. You know, I don't follow their recruiting closely enough where I could tell you, okay, here are their top targets at, you know, kind of linebacker slash edge rushing pass rusher. I don't know who Oklahoma's recruiting, but if they're backing off on Prince Dorba, man, they must have somebody in mind. But I think that one looks really, really good for Texas. He wants to decide this summer. Right now, I think Texas is the clear team to beat there. Now, J.J. Hester, the receiver. Oklahoma, another one. He hadn't heard from them in a while, which is so interesting. He's a Rivals 100 borderline. He's just outside the Rivals 100, I believe. But, you know, that type of talent, man, national receiver, Oklahoma's not really pushing there. So that opens the door for Texas. But keep an eye on, you know, schools. I think like Arkansas is going to be a player there. He's going to take several other visits. He does want to play with a defensive back, Miles Slusher, who had another guy at Oklahoma. So I need to kind of, and Miles Slusher released a top 10 this week, and it'll be interesting to kind of cross-reference who's on that top 10, who's on J.J. Hester's high on his list and offers, because Texas did not make the top 10 for Miles Slusher. But J.J. Hester, when I talked to him Sunday, man, he really likes Texas. And he said, hey, yeah, we want to play together, but if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So I think those things, you know, I think Prince Dorba certainly is trending UT's way. I think J.J. Hester, I think Texas's chances have gone up. He talks to the Texas staff quite a bit, so they need to get him back on campus. He said he wants to get back down this spring. If that happens, keep an eye out for that one. Texas could have a good shot there. So with that, guys, you know, we're still coming off spring break last week. Not the most active week this week. There'll be a couple guys on campus this weekend, including a really good defensive lineman, a 2021 defensive tackle out of Louisiana. I can't even think of his name. He's kind of new to my radar, if I'm being honest. But this is a young man who doesn't have a Texas offer yet. I expect that'll change this weekend. What was his name? Damn it, I'm drawing a blank. I should be able to pull that up. But he's got offers from Alabama and LSU and everybody else. So I would expect that he'll get an offer from Texas this weekend. But he's going to be on campus this weekend. Mason Smith is his name. There we go. He'll be on campus this weekend. So we'll have stuff to talk about with him and some others. But things should start ramping up. Official visits start picking up in April. You know, these guys are starting to work towards some want to decide by the end of their school year, which is really the end of May. So we're talking 2 months from now. Most guys want to start making decisions in the summer. So things are going to start picking up in terms of real movement with some of these prospects. We will keep an eye on them, keep tabs on them as best we can. But as always, I want to thank you all for listening. Big shout out to our partners at the Yak. Hope you guys are enjoying this. I enjoy talking to you, and I appreciate you guys giving me a little bit of your time each week. Everybody have a great week. Everybody have a safe week. And I'll look forward to talking to you again next week. This is Jason Sukumel, and this has been Something's Brewing. Take care.